So much of our world today is marked by signage. Signs are designed to get your attention before it's too late. Do not enter signs are often placed at the end of off-ramps so we don't drive onto a highway in the wrong direction. We've all heard of these horrible stories and people going on for miles. Like, okay, what were you thinking? Okay, apparently the sign did not get their attention. Restrooms, next exit. Well, you better take that exit before it's too late, right? If you've been looking for a restroom, you might see the next sign, restrooms, 26 miles, right? Painful. We've all been there. We just traveled to Pennsylvania. It's a long ride. You're kind of keeping your eyes open for those restroom-type signs. Ultimately, signs are intended to help guide us, to warn us, or to tell us we are officially out of options, kind of like this sign. Okay? If you got this far, you are out of options. I don't know how many signs you had to go through to avoid to not see this, but it's time now to stand on the roof and send SOS signals. Okay? This is another interesting one. This sign does not mince words. Danger, do not touch. Not only will this kill you, it will hurt the whole time you are dying. Okay? Do you get it? Okay, here is one for the parents whose kids are out of control. Unattended children will be given a shot of espresso and a free puppy. Okay, do you hear what that sign's saying? Drug the unattended kids with superpower caffeine and then try to tell them they can't take the puppy home after the nice man gave them permission. The guy who came up with this idea is brilliant if he's trying to stop problems in his, say, his shop or his store. Okay, one more. This one seems to be on the repetitious theme. You ready? Notice. Thank you for noticing this new notice. You're noticing it has been noted and will be reported to the authorities. Okay, I'm not sure what's all behind that one, but apparently repetition was a part. Here's the point. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 wants us to notice a repetitious theme about the type of comfort that has immediate and eternal purpose. It is the type of comfort that is supplied by God for those who trust Him. The apostles' repetition is designed to help us get it. You cannot miss His repetitious theme. God has a word reserved for those who suffer with Him and through Him. He says you will abound, which means to have or possess in great quantity, to be copiously supplied. Our God is able to copious supply you with everything you need to succeed in serving Him, even your suffering, when it's for Him. Paul would say, using the same word here, where sin abounded, where sin seemed to be increased, grace abounded all the more. In this 7 verses, 6 times, the word comfort is used. It is the same exact word Jesus uses regarding the Holy Spirit, parakaleto. It means to come alongside of. The Holy Spirit is called the paraclete. Jesus says, if I don't go, He does not come. When I go, I'm sending one in my place, and it is the Holy Spirit. It's His precious Holy Spirit. And we are the first fruits of those who got to receive the Holy Spirit, that we live in a day that the Holy Spirit indwells every believer who has been born again. The problem is most of us minimize His power and His availability for any and every circumstance. As we avail ourselves to the power of the Spirit, we will abound. And Paul gives some tremendous insight here of how God comes alongside the believer. Paul also uses another repetitive word here 4 times. It's called consolation. So number one, 6 times, is this idea that God is the God of all comfort. and he continues to develop that comfort in us. The byproduct of that comfort that comes into our lives as we stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in this evil day, Paul says, redeem the time because the days are evil. You want to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in this day? Well, expect a few people not to like that very much. But make sure what you're defending and who you're defending. Make sure that you're holding out the free gift of eternal life when you give opportunity to speak for the Lord Jesus Christ. It always comes back to what Jesus Christ has already done for us. From there, we build upon that foundation. We get more instruction. God will give us more leadership, more opportunity. He will bless us. Don't you want to be blessed by God? I do. I want to be under the full blessing and the power of God all the time, 24/7, because it is possible. So four times he talks about this consolation, and that's the byproduct, that's the result of you experiencing the very comfort of God. God uses you to console others, to assure others. Have you had the ministry of consolation of someone, telling them about the faithfulness of God that he's demonstrated for you over and over again? I'll tell you, when I heard from Mike Mangum the other evening, I knew that he was as blessed as I was. I mean, he's like, he just couldn't wait to tell me, Pastor Dave, the keys have been found, you know. It was just this moment. And I tell you, as we celebrate God's faithfulness, especially as we bear up under difficulty for Christ's behalf, God consoles us. And this is an abounding consolation. This thing keeps growing. God can never not supply you what you need for everything. That is the truth. He will always supply you. It's the word of God. Sometimes we're waiting for a circumstantial change. I just want this circumstance to change. Do you know that one of the greatest ministries of the Holy Spirit is to take the word of God and to bring that alive to your heart, and you will sense this closeness to the Lord Jesus Christ like never before? It's because God's word is so powerful, and God wants to assure you consolation. A big part of our consolation is growing in assurance. Hey, I've seen what God's taken me through. I know he can take me the rest of the way. God knows that he can do it, and God will do it. God is faithful. The Apostle Paul recognized the faithfulness of God. He underscores this to his faithful son Timothy in the faith. Listen to this. You want to know that God is with you? Look at the life of the Apostle Paul. And if you feel at times you're standing alone, well, take a look at the Apostle Paul. He says, at my first defense, no one stood with me. But all forsook me. Okay, so Paul had an opportunity to have some help at that time. Apparently, people left because the persecution was so intense. The persecution by Jewish leadership was not something that these people took lightly. They knew it was consequential. But Paul says here, may it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that this message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear. Do you realize, and the clarity about suffering in the Christian life really is against the backdrop of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation. I mean, if you look at aspects of the scriptures, you look at the life of Job, you look at the life of, say, David, you look at the life of, I can just think of several others who were undergoing severe, just difficulty, suffering. That's part of everyone's life, but that's not necessarily the suffering that we are really, the suffering that causes us to abound. The suffering that causes us to abound is when we are intimately connected with the Lord Jesus Christ, and God is using that pressure as we are growing in our understanding of him, in his faithfulness, in who he is, and taking a stand where it might not be popular, and taking a hit for Jesus from time to time. Sometimes you're just going to take a hit for Jesus. Now he says, if they've said these things about me, what are they going to say about you, right? So, I mean, Jesus went to the cross for us. I mean, he took it on. He took on what we couldn't do. He died in the sinner's place, and he wants us to know that he's sufficient. Paul would say here, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered from the mouth of a lion. Just telling you. That's how Paul thinks. He understands that all aspects of deliverance came from the Lord. James says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. If you are struggling today, if you're in some form of suffering, some form of difficulty, begin to draw nigh to God. I can't make you go into a suffering trial for Jesus, but I can say if you are struggling right now with just the everyday cares of this life, would you just draw nigh to God? As your faith is fortified, you will have the courage to take a further step in obedience to maybe say a word for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how God works in our lives. He takes the mustard seed of faith and it gets developed. And as we continue to trust him and grow in him, that the very precious that come into the Christian life for standing up for the Lord Jesus, God will supply. And I want you to see three things that are on the back of your bulletin today. I hope I get to cover some of these. Number one, three things in these seven verses. Number one, God promises comfort. We need to know that there's always the promise of comfort for every believer. Then we want to get a little bit more deeper and look at the purpose of our comfort. That comfort is not just to be hoarded. It is to be used to comfort others. It is to be used, as you've seen, the faithfulness of God. I think about the persecuted church today in places around this world. People who are beheaded. You saw it. I saw it too. You saw things that were happening by ISIS because people were just naming the name of Jesus and taking them out on an open beach and beheading them. I know that this is not nice talk and it hurts for us to hear this. But God is faithful. See, Jesus says, don't fear him. Fear them who can kill the body, but rather fear him who can put both body and soul into hell. Our real fear is the fear of the Lord. But if you are a man in Christ today, a woman in Christ today, then you just know for a fact that your sins have already been paid for in full. You are in Christ. Your blood purchased. He owns you. And the truth of the matter is that I believe there's an increasing amount of persecution that's coming. Will it come before the rapture? Will it come in terms of that the church itself will undergo more and more persecution? I think yesterday, to me, what happened in Virginia is a sign that we're seeing more of a civil war take place in our nation. We're seeing things happen in our own land right now that I believe that if you name the name of Jesus Christ, you are often categorized as a right-wing nut, right? Even if you're not, that's what's going on today. You love the Lord Jesus Christ and you say, you know what? He's my Savior, he's my Lord, and I'm trusting him. Well, somehow that message is not very popular. So we should really be expecting today that as these times increase, and Jesus says, and I'll read this at the end of my message today. Hopefully we'll get there by 2 o'clock. Just kidding. Just see if you're awake. You are. But I just make it clear that Jesus says some of you will suffer persecution and some of you will suffer. Some of you will be put to death. But he said, I've got a crown for you. So people who are dying possibly in this church age ahead of the rapture, then we know that they have a crown awaiting them. You may be suffering right now for being a Christian. You may be suffering for just an increased dependency upon God, and people don't understand, well, why are you so connected to that church over there? Well, because you tell them you love Jesus and he saved my soul. And those people love Jesus and he saved their souls too, and we're on our way to heaven. And we're getting ready to get out of here because God is so faithful. I want you to appreciate what the Lord is doing here. No matter what you're going through, it's my prayer as your pastor in these days of great uncertainty, incredible national and global instability and chaos, by the grace of God and through the Spirit of God, I'm going to point you in the all-sufficient resources of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you and died for you and will never leave you. It is good if we take one from him from time to time. Who else loved us the way that he did? Just like the early apostles, what we saw in our study in the book of Acts, listen to this in Acts chapter 5. They preached, they were warned not to preach, they still preached, and they were often punished by the Christ-rejecting leadership in Jerusalem. Acts 5:39-41, Gamaliel, the leader in Israel, who also instructed Saul of Tarsus. Then Jesus got a hold of Saul of Tarsus and called him the Apostle Paul. Saul was once an enemy of Jesus, an open enemy defying. He even said, I persecuted the church of God. Paul makes He holds nothing back in describing his former way of life. And then Jesus says at his conversion, he says, I will show him what he will suffer for my namesake. But listen to how the other apostles dealt with the early persecution that they were encountering. Gamaliel pointed out to his fellow counterparts, but if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it. This guy has some wisdom, lest you even be found to fight against God. And they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed, that's the apostles, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. This is the type of suffering that I believe the Apostle Paul is zooming in on in 1st and 2nd Corinthians chapter 1. Listen, life has problems, period, the end. I have a family of four, and half of my family has been clobbered through stuff, illness, hospitalizations, cancer, surgeries, brain surgery, you name it, stuff. We've gotten through that by the grace of God, and I thank him for that. But I believe there's a deeper suffering, and I'm not saying that I want to go back into any of those areas. I thank the Lord for what he's done as we've been celebrating all month. My wife is 10 years from being freed from leukemia, and I'm so, so thankful. Yes, you always are so good. Praise God. But there's a deeper intimacy that I know that even once you get over one disease and you encounter a new trial or a new thing, I'm telling you, if you're not going there with Jesus, you're just trying to just pray the whole thing away, or just pray this trial away. You know, I just want to be out of this trial. Do you realize what God does through our suffering when we're suffering for him? He does some amazing things. He can bring us closer. There's intimacy like never before with Jesus. See, Jesus suffered for us, and somehow as we suffer for him, there's something very precious about that. And I believe that a church that really wants to grow and take a stand for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of God that was completely given to free us and save us on the basis of a gift, if we stand and we defend that truth, I believe we'll be persecuted. There's a lot today that's pressured, the church is being pressured to do. And you guys should be just a really good social group of people who just like do nice things for people. But yeah, when we feed the homeless, we don't really tell them anything. We just want to make them feel like we love them. Well, no, you need to tell them that Jesus loves them and that he died for them and that there's a window of time that may be taken away from you and you must be born again. And so sometimes even churches become sort of isolated. They're kind of put off to the side because they seem to have a sense that they're not like the rest of us here. And so sometimes it feels like, you know, your church is unique because you're standing for the truth of the Word of God. But Jesus has a future reward for those who stand for him. Don't you want it? I want it so much. I want to learn how to stand for Jesus Christ in these days. Why would I not stand for someone who loved me and died for me and paid a perfect sacrifice for me, who gives me all the resources that he has? He places his Holy Spirit on me until the day of redemption. I'm sealed for all eternity. I trust you are today too, if you're born again. I know many of you are. I encourage you. Your goal is just not to get to the end of this life with just only few trials. Would you let the Lord use every one of your trials to bring you closer to him? He will use every one of them, no matter what. Pressing on, pressing through. Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. So like, not be shocked by this thing, but be of good cheer. Jesus says, I've overcome the world. The promise of comfort here in 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4. See, I told you we'd get to the text. Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Have you experienced the full mercy of God poured out for you? Do you know it? And do you want more of it? I do. He's the God of all comfort. Verse 4, he comforts us in all our tribulation, all of our tribulation. You want to look at the pedigree of the Apostle Paul as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, take a look at some of what he experienced later on in 2 Corinthians, I believe chapters 10 and 11. Talks about the sufferings, the lashes, the beatings. Somehow Paul saw all the sufferings that he experienced to be something that would be so used for God. And there's this reciprocating ministry that as God comforts the struggling believer who might be suffering, who will be, is suffering, he gives that believer a consoling ministry to console others and to encourage them to keep going. He'd say here, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves are comforted by. Some of us don't really know about this. This is like foreign for us. We just don't even think in these terms. We just don't think that your present struggles are being used for you to bring comfort to somebody else. Some of you did not choose the circumstances that you're in. Matter of fact, you wish it didn't go that way. You hate them. Are you just asking God to just take them all away? Or would you ask him today, would he use your very circumstances to draw you closer to him, and that you, as you grow in that, God will put more opportunities for you to stand for him and to be a witness for him? You really have to get Christians on the thinking that we're getting ready to get out of here. And somehow in this life, we've got this thought that we're trying to make this planet a whole lot better. The only way this planet's going to change is under the kingship and the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're just getting ready to get out, and we're getting people ready to get out of here with us. That's the idea. And we can leave here completely ready to go now. I pray that you are ready to go now. Let's just take a look at what happened yesterday in Charlottesville, Virginia. People out there for a rally, a car barrels in, head, I have no idea, but I know that car, that's I believe a Dodge Challenger, and that thing's got guts, and that guy went right into those people. None of those people saw that coming. One person went in that group went out into eternity yesterday. It seems unfair and maybe wrong and all that stuff, and we can have opinions on that whole thing, but you know what? We have got plenty of warnings in the scripture that don't postpone getting ready to meet God. And that's something we all want to do. We want to be ready to meet the Lord. And we can be fully ready. It's not your fault you got sin, but it's your fault if you don't do something to remove it. And the one who removes it is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wants you to trust him right now. That's basically how it all works out. And then as you grow in that love relationship with him because he loved you and died for you, God is going to give you more and more opportunity to be the comforting source, using your life to bring encouragement, consolation, and encouragement to those who are around you. Suffering intelligently is a big part of suffering. Did you hear what I said? Suffering intelligently is a big part of suffering. Suffering intelligently is having the perspective of God on your circumstance, even before you get in it. Don't be ignorant of the Word of God. It's really important that as you're growing up, and I'm so thankful for what the Lord is doing in this church. He is growing up believers. We have an ongoing active Sunday school ministry that is teaching the Word of God. This church loves the Word of God, and we are not ashamed of it. I am not ashamed of this book. I love the Lord because he's so faithful, and he's got everything I need. And I stand to you before today realizing I got a long way to go. I forget what lies behind, and I'm straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Here's how Peter puts it. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and God rests upon you. Do you know that Spirit and glory that's resting upon you as you're suffering for him? On the part he has, there are others, though, who are blaspheming, and they are not resting upon the Lord. They are cursing God even right now. There are many in our world today who don't like God. For some reason, they're enemies of him. We were all enemies of the Lord at one point. We don't like to think that, but that's the truth. But God has made us our friends through his Son. And he's not holding anything back for you to grow. And don't hold yourself back. And suffering often is a way to hold yourself back because you're trying to avoid something. We're trying to escape something. Rather, let's go with God. Let's go with him through the difficulty. So that's the purpose of our comfort, that you and I would be used to comfort others. And finally, there's mutual profit. As you and I grow in this ministry of comfort and consolation, as we learn to be an encouragement, as we hold out this hope of eternal life and salvation that we're just ready to receive, and we know that Jesus is coming at any moment, that when we see him, we will be like him. That's the blessed hope. This transformation, people, coming for you. Every last one of you who know the Lord. You are getting a new body. Hallelujah. This is so good. You know, Paul speaks very highly of a man named Epaphroditus in Philippians 2:13. Paul puts it this way, because for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Epaphroditus was valuable to God because he was willing to suffer for Jesus. A church that's willing to grow and really move out needs to be willing to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will knit that congregation together in such a way that I believe that we will absolutely be able to say that if God is for us, who can be against us? I want to just share with you a very, I asked my daughter for permission. I didn't tell her exactly what I was going to say, but I said, I think this story fits. As you know, we've homeschooled for the last 17 years of her life. And back in June, she completed her education early, a year early, with 45 college credits. My daughter has been very honest that life is not always easy for her. She's an incredibly hard worker, and she's quite capable, and she's kind of mad that people think that she's like overly capable. It's more than that. But what I've seen with Amanda, and I think it's a testimony to me, is that in through Amanda's difficulty, through some of her challenges, even openly honest about depression, even on her own blog site, that now 500 people are following my daughter across the world, who read her Scattered Journal Pages blog. But one thing I've seen in my daughter is that she has developed an intimacy with Jesus Christ, and it's commendable. It is commendable. And I wish this would be for so many people. I've seen people in this world today. It's like as soon as they get into a crisis, they're going to run out and get a drug. Would you just pour into Jesus and let him know? Just let him know that you want him more and that you're not afraid to hear from him and you're not afraid to call upon him because he suffered for you and he understands, he sympathizes with all of our weaknesses. And the greater joy today for the church should be that we can suffer with him. And Paul says, when this thing is really working, you are being comforted, God is comforting you, you're comforting others, and God is using your life so powerfully. And my daughter's blog is blessing the planet because people love her. I've had people like way older than me and way older than some of you tell her how much her blog means to them. These are people in their 80s reading her blog because my daughter had captured something early in her life, and I give God the glory. I don't, Beth and I do not take this credit. This glory belongs to God because I've seen how many times she gets her face in that Bible, and I come into her room and she's reading her Bible. I have no idea what the emotional state that she might be in at that moment. I don't know. She might be struggling with something and she's not really letting everybody in on it, but sometimes I watch her blog posts and I'm like, oh my goodness, like she's too brutally honest, and she has this way of connecting with people, and she's not afraid to put out there that my God is completely sufficient, and God multiplies our lives for the ministry of suffering, and if we push it away, I tell you, our church will suffer for that. I really believe it. Jesus puts it this way, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil's about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. This is the crown of life is for those who've suffered willingly for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, I'm not advocating that we rush into suffering, but if God allows it to come into our life because we're defending him and we love him and we're clear to this gospel message and we aren't polluting it with mixing works and grace and all this stuff, we are defending it for what it is. It is the final finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ that needs to be trusted, and we're going to defend that. We're going to defend that till he calls us home by his grace and by the Spirit he's placed in us. we will serve the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for what you're doing this morning in my own heart through this, Lord. And I know, Lord, it may be an intensity coming off of me, Lord, but I do pray that this would pour into the hearts of these dear people. Lord, as we draw close to you like never before, as we learn to love you better, as we learn to mature in our faith, as we learn to rightly divide the word of God and we understand the difference between grace and works and what truly saved us. We thank you, Lord, that you are maturing us, you're bringing us along, and that you are supplying us with the Holy Spirit who is with us forever. Thank you so much, dear Heavenly Father, for your mercy. I pray for anyone here today who does not know you, that maybe this be the day of their salvation, that this would be the day it's, I am done. I am done trying to figure this thing out. I trust the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive me and take away all of my sin. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning, and Lord, I pray for those who may be struggling, suffering, feeling the pressure just from their own life, their difficulties. May they not push those away, but may they realize that that's an invitation once again, to come to you, Lord. You use us. It's just so apparent to me that throughout the pages of the letters of the New Testament, that suffering is a vital component to our growth and to our development if we receive it properly. Lord, I'm praying that you will strengthen our church. I pray for our prayer meetings on Wednesday night, that you would bless them, you would use them, you would fortify us in these days. You would make us people who are expectant. You would make us people who love you. You would cause us like never before to be ready to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we see you, we will be like you. Father, bless the rest of this week as we head into it. Strengthen us, I pray. May you receive all the glory for what you are doing in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.